Well, thank you, everybody. I am Barbara Ann. I'm a food addict from Lowell, Massachusetts, and I'm pleased to be on this meeting. I always enjoy going to meetings, other meetings, but especially those out of state. It reminds me that we're all part of a community, no matter where we live. I've been in OA. I was in OA for probably about a year and a half or under 2 years when I was still living in Vermont. And then I moved to Massachusetts, thought I had been cured because I don't know, I just thought I'd been cured. Well, I wasn't. So I started putting weight back on. I was eating and binging and did a weight loss plan that cost me a lot of money, lost a few pounds, but by the following, that was in the spring of June 86. No, it was 86 of June. And then in the spring, not even a year later, I was just waking up wishing I could die. I said, you know, I just can't stop eating. I've spent my life trying so hard to be thin, and nothing ever worked for any amount of time. It just didn't. So one thing led to another. I talked to a counselor person on the phone, told her what my problem was, and because I'd been in OA before, I knew that I where I needed help. So at any rate, I got an appointment to talk to a counselor the following week. She recommended that I contact the OA office in at that point our office was in Arlington, Mass. And in those days, back in 87, we actually had an office worker in person, and we had people who volunteered their time, couple hours at a time. So I got to talk to a real person who gave me a meeting, some meeting times, but told me about the next meeting closest was on a Saturday afternoon here in Chelmsford, and I'm right next to Chelmsford, and I can tell you I have been going to that meeting faithfully ever since. So that's my starting with OA beginning. And now to go back to the real to the beginning beginning. I was born in 1944 to a oh golly, well, into a very dysfunctional family. My father was an alcoholic. He ended up dying, never made it to 40 years old. He ended up dying quite early. And my mom, you know, she drank, she ate. I called her an alcoholic. Finally, at her very, you know, before she died, she admitted that she probably was an alcoholic. But we had the eating disorder in common. I have the eating disorder in common with many, many of my my last name is Forent, and the Forent relatives generally are very heavy people. So I feel like genetically I came by this disease, honestly. But I also know that it started as soon as I was born. I was born with a craving, just a craving for constant nourishment. And oh my gosh, you know, my mother, she fed me what was appropriate, but then she had to supplement with sugar water. Because she had to, I had, it's like she had to keep putting stuff in my mouth so that I wouldn't just cry all the time. So that was the beginning. So I promptly turned into a chubby toddler and promptly turned into, I shouldn't use that same words over and over again, but you know, it's it, in thinking back on it and looking back at 81 years of life, it's just mind-blowing to me to try to encompass 81 years in one little share. So usually I hit highlights. So okay, so I'm a toddler and I'm very roly-poly. Aunt told my mom, "Don't worry, she'll outgrow that when she hits puberty." Well, guess what? I hit puberty. I did not outgrow the fat. It became pretty much a permanent attachment to me. So as I got a little bit older, and when we went to visit, like say, aunt and uncle's houses, oh my gosh, I just loved when they put out candy or bake something. It's like I would be at it and at it, and so one eye opener, I think I was probably around 10-ish or so. One of the relatives said to me, "No wonder you're so fat. You eat like a little pig." So from that point on, I was very conscious that eating too much in front of people was a bad thing to do. So I did as much as I could to hide what I ate. When I babysat, I raided pantry, refrigerator, freezer. At home, when my mother baked, and she baked beautiful stuff, I would go to any lengths to get it. When she would put it up on a high shelf and I was afraid of climbing up there, I would encourage my sister to climb up on the counter to get whatever it was that I was wanting. I mean, it's funny talking about it, but oh my gosh, it was so hard. So hard living with that kind of craving in me. As I got into high school, I handled it better. I had more things to think about. I was, I did well in school. Let's put it that way. I did well in school. I got awards. In high school, I was involved in our yearbook, and I don't know, a few other things, I guess. But throughout all those school years, I was constantly trying to fit in, to be one of the crowd, to try to lose weight through some manner or another so that I would fit in better, because I was so conscious that that I was overweight. I just knew, And so things were difficult, as you could imagine. Gym, wearing those stupid little gym outfits. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm glad I don't have a picture of me in one of them. It would have been a sight to see. But anyway, so I graduated high school, got a job, a really nice job. And I worked at that for 5 years. After graduation, my sister got married. I graduated high school in 63. In 65, my sister got married in January, and she's 2 years younger than me. So that mortified me, like, oh my God, I'm the oldest. I should have gotten married first. Well, it didn't happen that way. And then one by one, my girlfriends were getting engaged, and then they started getting married. And or scheduling marriages. Meanwhile, I'm afraid I'm going to be an old maid. And at this point, I was 20 years old. How sad for me. I mean, that's what I say now. How sad for me. So I met a fellow at a square dance. We went regularly square dancing, met a fellow, and it seemed like we fell into lust. And I thought it was love, because I couldn't wait to see him again, and I just loved being around him. And when we kissed, oh my God, it's like everything went crazy. I think I was too sheltered. I don't know. Whatever it was, when he said, let's get married or something, I said okay. So from June, meeting him, to November, we went out, and I got married to him in November, just before my birthday, just before my 21st birthday. 9.5 years later, living with a man who was an alcoholic, he had a hard time holding down jobs because of it, and because of the things that he did. He just when he decided to drink, he just could not make it to work. and he couldn't seem to work at a job without fighting with the boss and telling the boss that he didn't know anything, that, I'm the one that knows everything. He was that kind, So, and he cheated, and I kind of had an inkling he did, but when I'd ask him, he'd say no. Well, finally, at the end, it was about nine, like I say, just a little over 9 years, I found out that he had a very young girlfriend who was going to have a baby. So that was my out. So I left, and I got a divorce. And when that divorce became final, I joined the US Army. I can't believe I did that, but you know what? It sounds like really brave, but I didn't feel brave. I just felt like, yay, this is a way to get out of Vermont, to go somewhere to have a good job. They're going to not just pay me, they're going to give me a place to live, they're going to feed me, and I'm going to get to travel. I mean, really, it was perfect, I mean, it was all going to fix me and make my life better. Well, the problem was, I took my compulsive overeating tendencies with me. So where the recruiter reassured me that basic training would help me lose weight, I gained weight. God forbid you turn me loose in a big store with cheap cookies and candy. And that's what I did. I ate. So I was on a yo-yo throughout my years in the army. That turned out to be 9.5 years. I was on a yo-yo, up and down, losing weight. And the embarrassment, I was embarrassed. I was humiliated when I would have to go on weight control program and lose weight. I finally left the army because I said, this is, I can't stand this anymore. I can't stand that it's not enough that I'm good at my job. I have to also weigh a certain amount. So, one thing led to another. I left the army, got a job, ended up at IBM, convinced that working at a company like IBM, that I would have the prestige of working at a company like that. I'd be acceptable. I wouldn't have a worry in the world. Well, guess what? When you're fat, you don't make a good appearance. So managers, higher level managers, don't want you sitting in their front office. I had a chip on my shoulder. You add that to being overweight, the chip on your shoulder that comes from being so insecure. So I did get a manager to work for, and I enjoyed that. I did a lot. But then I moved to Massachusetts with IBM, and I again, it's I can see the pattern of if I leave Vermont again, if I get away from family and friends, I'm going to be like, I'm going to lick the world. I'm going to have it made. So I came to Massachusetts, and very shortly I found that the job I had signed up for was a lot more difficult than being a secretary, very much more difficult. So I started eating again. I was happy. I had a bad attitude. That eventually led me to the whole part about coming to OA in the spring of 87. My manager was the one I was having it out with her, telling her she was being mean to me. It makes me laugh, that she was being mean to me and humiliating me in the group. Well, she took me to her office and told me what I was doing to the group with my bad attitude, and that I either need to shape up or she was going to have to let me go. So she's the one that suggested that I call this the Employee Assistance Plan. And that was the beginning of my recovery from that point on, April 1987 to now. I have never left program. I got a sponsor my first meeting. I did what she said. Eventually, I did, I went through a few sponsors as time passed. I'm watching the time here. So hopefully, I can share, just recovery, how I got to where I am today. I went to meetings. I had a food plan. I followed it occasionally. I had a slip, and The planned, here when you're in a 90-day meeting, and back then it was, people were really serious. If you even have a slip at one meal, that's it. You start counting your time abstinent all over again. Well, I say screw that. I got so sick of that. I really did. And it just added to my feelings of insecurity. And let me check that. I just got a call coming in, not now. Fear, doubt, and insecurity. So I did, I was suggested I do some AWOLs, which study of the 12 steps using, I did it a couple of ways. I actually did an AA one, and then I did some OA ones using, different thing, different literature. But about 14 years into program, I was feeling like, you know what? I may be abstinent. And I may have lost, like keeping off about 50 pounds of weight, but I was miserable. I was miserable. Someone suggested that perhaps I should try the Big Book Step Study meetings. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that, but I can tell you, Big Book Step Study was what turned my life around. That was studying the steps out of the Big Book. And the first 163 pages lays it all out for you, tells you exactly what to do, and to be able to look at your life the way it was, find out what your part was. And I had to learn to stop blaming everybody else, from my parents on through my friends, my coworkers, my bosses. Everybody was responsible for the fact that I was so unhappy. Well, I found out that wasn't true. That wasn't true. My unhappiness came from my own fear, doubt, and insecurity. And I needed to let go of all the resentments. I needed to find ways to stop being so angry with everybody. And did I say let go of resentments? Because, oh my God, that was hard. That was really hard to realize that I pretty much resented everybody in my life for one reason or another. It was another way of blaming. So I did that. And now, I mean, I have been going to Big Book Step Study meetings now since that, like 14 years into my program. And I've been in, 39, almost 40. That's a lot of years to be in the recovery process. That's what I consider a Big Book Step Study. So occasionally I'll do a couple of meetings a week, but I faithfully do a meeting every single week, and I do my two regular OA meetings. And I do service. I'm part of the our intergroup board. I'm now doing, I graduated. I switched myself from doing our intergroup newsletter to being the recording secretary for our meetings. And I'm new at that. But I say, even if I have pain in my body and it's hard to move around sometimes, I still get up and move around. My brain still works. And I had a lot of years of developing computer skills. So, I mean, I'm not perfect. I'm not an expert, but I'm well suited to doing this kind of service. So, that's what I do. I sponsor people. I go to my meetings. I read my literature. I write occasionally. I make phone calls. I take phone calls. Did I say I do service? That saved me. Back in the beginning, people used to say, I used to hear, service is slimming. Do something. Put away chairs, put out chairs, talk to a newcomer. Oh, I'm running out of time. Oh my gosh. I've done it all. I do it all. I still do it. And I plan on doing it until the day I pass away. And, the way it's looking, the shape I'm in at 81, I'm unfortunately probably going to live longer than I want to. So before I go, I will put my phone number in the chat. But before I go, I want to try to show you this photo. This is me, this chubby. I can tell you that at oh, thank you, that at 170 plus pounds, I was very compact and I crammed all that body into a size 18. And it was crammed in. And then a few years later, this was me, and I had it as part of a book. Oh, what it says is fat and angry at one of the world's best playgrounds. And oh, I don't know if you can really see, but I had a puss on my face. I went with a fellow who I went as a friend, and he expected favors. I was not a friend with benefit. I thought we were going as friends. So I ended up doing Epcot by myself because we got pissed off at each other. And we said, well, why don't you I'm going to, you go your way, I'll go mine. And that's exactly what happened. So, it's been an interesting life. I could tell you stories all day and all night, but my time is up. And I really appreciate, oh my gosh, this has been good for me. So thank you all so much for just being an attentive audience. This has helped save my life too, to be able to tell parts of my life to people who listen to me. So thank you. And with that,